proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your host, Nena Arias. She has proclaimed truth for over 40 years in many nations of the world and now endeavors to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They're passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now, your host, Nena Arias.
Welcome, friends. I'm so glad that you decided to join us in this third and final part of the topic that we have been analyzing that has been very difficult to research, to find out all that is going on, but it must be faced head on. Our topic is the victimization and exploitation of children. This is part number three, and I know that there is so much more that we could learn from this subject, researching it, but I hope that we have at least piqued your interest. And not only to find out all the morbid details, but also to see what you can do to make a difference. Welcome once again to the program. You know, every time I hear one of my grandchildren say, "I love you, Nana," my heart just melts with love for them, as it did for my own children as they were growing up. The love of a child is so pure, is so tender, it's just beautiful. From time to time, I look at pictures of my children when they were young, and I begin to live such wonderful memories of them. And of course, the love wells within my heart all over again, and I can never get enough. Children are so precious. And yet, as we have been analyzing in this topic, we are finding out about a whole dark world operating underground that victimizes, exploits, and even kills the children for money and for twisted, evil gratification. Yes, there is no other descriptive word that fits this underground activity more than the word evil. It is diabolic as we have been looking at this. And children are not only precious to us, but certainly are precious to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus said this in Matthew 19:14, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." End of quote. Can you imagine how pure and innocent and loving and trusting a child is? It is enough to take that innocent child straight into heaven. And we as adults need to cultivate that within us as well. Because if we do not become as children in these wonderful attributes, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So it is wonderful to learn from the children and to take care of them as we should. When it comes to the victimization and exploitation of children, how common is this in the United States? Well, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services estimates that between 240,000 and 325,000 children alone are at risk for sexual exploitation each year. Now, this does not include the children or the young people or the minors who are imported into the country for the purpose of slave labor. We have found out of very delicate cases of people who bring minors from other nations, and as soon as they are in their home to be domestic helpers, even though those children were promised something different, something very sinister happens. Their documents, their passports are taken away from them. Any money that they may have is taken away from them. They do not speak the language, and the people who brought them over begin to exploit them. And there are some people who are already in jail for abusing these minors. Estimates also suggest that in 2018, over half, that would be 51.6% of the criminal human trafficking cases active in the United States were sex trafficking cases involving only children. And these children can go anywhere from 1 year old to 15 years old. Now you might ask yourself, who buys a trafficked child for sex? Here is the shocker. You wouldn't guess, because they are otherwise ordinary men. It is reported most just blend right back into their families, their jobs, and their neighborhoods. You would not suspect, because they seem to be normal people. And it is a shock to the neighbors of any people who are trafficking people for sex or young kids for sex. And they say, they were just so nice. They were normal people. They like to help out in the neighborhood. They look very normal, but they're not. They are seldom caught and held accountable for their despicable acts, which is why we should all be very vigilant. Anything that seems shady or questionable, we must be very careful. Children are our most precious treasures, so mistreatment of them should never even enter into the mind of anyone, let alone carry out such blood-curdling acts on them. Now, do not confuse the discipline that a child sometimes needs to teach them valuable lessons and behavioral conducts that are correct. There is discipline that goes along with them. That is not mistreatment of children. There's a very valuable purpose. And discipline is never to cause physical harm to the child above a regular spanking or the like. So this is very different from mistreatment of them, and least of all, sexually and physically abusing them. But of course, with the cheapening of life through horrific acts like abortion, which we all know massacres the unborn by the millions in the mother's womb. So what else is to be expected of a society who sees this as normal? And there are tremendously huge organizations that advocate for the woman's so-called right to kill her child, her unborn child. No civilization that has ever committed such atrocities will ever survive and will receive the harshest judgments of God, who values each life greatly. No one person goes unnoticed by our Heavenly Father. Because you see, God invests himself in each and every human being that is born, each and every human being that is conceived. Now, here is a warning to all of us, that once we know of these atrocities and do nothing to stop them, guess what? We are complicit and will be held accountable. Nobody has stricter, more minute, detailed records of what goes on in our life than God. And there are many wonderful and compassionate organizations who have dived right in to do the arduous and dangerous work of rescuing these precious children from being trafficked. I highly recommend that you find a credible organization and vet them. By all means, vet them and make sure they are reputable and get behind them. They need our help. Also, we can contact our representatives in government to make them aware of what is going on. And this is also a very good and necessary option. They need to know. We are the ears, the mouthpiece, the hands and the arms of those who are in government. And if we do not send them information and ask that they look into it, nothing will ever happen to stop these activities. I want us to look more closely at the victimological aspects of child abuse, because recognizing the circumstances a child or a young person faces is crucial in finding those who truly need help. If something doesn't seem right, it probably isn't. So when you talk to young children, when you talk to young people, and even adults, when something doesn't sound right, sounds iffy, sounds dangerous, sounds ambiguous, it probably is, and they need help. All children, we have established and we know, all children are vulnerable due to their innocence and trusting character. We covered that in a previous program. But some are more vulnerable than others because of their increased need to be loved and to feel safe, since some of these children can be runaways, and perhaps they are fleeing from an already abusive situation at home. This happens very often. And once a young person decides to run away from home, they usually don't have anywhere to go. Or if they went to a friend's house or another family's house, they have worn out their welcome, and it's dangerous for the hosting family to keep them. The authorities will come after them and find out why they are harboring a runaway. So it's not easy. These children will then turn to the streets, and the traffickers know how to find them. Any child that looks lost, any child that is wandering, any young person that looks hungry or dirty or not well-dressed or doesn't walk like they have a goal in mind or a destiny in mind or a purpose in mind, they know how to spot them. So runaways are easy victims. Others are what you could call, for all intents and purposes, throwaways. What do I mean by that? Children that are cast out and rejected by their parents. And it could be because those children are already unruly and their parents cannot control them. And they're still minors. So anything that that child does, the parents will be held accountable for child endangerment. But some children have caused their parents to give up on them. So those children end up on the streets, looking pretty much lost, just like the runaways. Now, the unruly children are more hardcore bad behavior, so they are stealing for food, they are causing havoc, and they can get caught by the authorities. But then, since there's no one to answer for them, then those children get thrown into the child services programs, and those children escape from those situations and still end up on the streets. Children can also already be in sexual assault situations in their very own home. And that is a great reason why a lot of them either run away from home, become unruly, or they are easy to spot by the traffickers. Or some children can be just plain neglected, who their parents feel that they are a burden to them and they cannot care for them. So children coming from these type of circumstances can be easily recruited into a violent life of forced prostitution, since the grooming skills of practiced traffickers and pimps know how to appeal and how to groom these children. And of course, first they have to be nice. They have to be kind to them. They may even supply their needs, the needs of these children, food, lodging, a friend, appear to be a friend, that is, and they first promise them to be kind and genuinely helpful. To the older children, like adolescents on up, they may promise them a career even, and a very popular presentation to these young people is those who say they have a model agency or that they are recruiting actors and they can promise these young people a better life, a break in life. And these young people fall for it. But before they know it, they're being trafficked. Or they may have been recruited for an acting career when in actuality it's going to be acting in pornographic movies or videos. And yes, they do get paid, but they get exploited. And inevitably, they will end up in prostitution as well. They get used to easy money, quote unquote. And children who act in pornographic videos are no good to the companies after they become in their early 20s. They start to get too old. So that is a short-lived career, quote unquote, or so to speak. But the trap is there. And many times they get hooked on drugs or alcohol, and that makes them even more vulnerable to falling into these dark holes. Now, I cannot state emphatically enough how technological advances have made it easier for the traffickers to recruit these children. In particular, the internet and mobile devices have facilitated the sex trafficking of children by providing a convenient worldwide marketing channel. Somebody here in the States can be offering a child to somebody in Thailand or somebody in another country, and they can do it all through the internet. Individuals can now use websites and social media to advertise the children, to schedule appointments, to meet up with the buyers. And they can also purchase sexual encounters with the minors, which is why I'm so thankful that the authorities have been awakened to this tremendous tool of technology, and they can set up the sting operations, and the agents can pretend to be pedophiles or people who are looking for commercialization of children or who want to use these children to produce pornographic videos. But the policemen are becoming more and more and more aware of this and even better at catching the people involved in these kinds of activities. The internet and mobile devices also allow the pimps and traffickers to reach a larger clientele base than in the past. And this may expose victims to greater risks and dangers because they don't know who they're dealing with until it may be too late. As I explained in our previous program about this young girl, 13-year-old girl, that had been lured by someone on the internet. And she thought she was corresponding with a younger man, a young man. And this happened to be an older man that had evil, evil intentions for this 13-year-old girl. And that is what can happen through the internet. They don't know who they're dealing with until it's too late, especially if they agree to meet with these individuals. Child sex trafficking investigations present unique challenges to law enforcement and require a strong response of multiple jurisdictions, multiple agencies playing an important role in ensuring the protection of victims and the effective prosecution of the offenders. What do I mean by this? It's not just catching these offenders. It's not just finding these children and rescuing them that is important. But if there is no one to receive them on the other side to start the healing process, these children are in limbo and they just have to go into child protective services. And many times that is not the best situation for them. Also, if proper prosecution of the offenders is not effective, they are given more of an incentive to not desist from this criminal activity, since they won't receive the full prosecution of the extent of the law. And this creates for a very, very vicious cycle. These people do not cease and desist because they can get around these lax laws. They're not prosecuted. So they get a slap on the wrist. They're set free to continue their horrible child mutilations and killings and mistreatments of children because the prosecution system is not there. So they have to be very careful how they work this catching of the children, finding them, and then passing them off to good organizations that already know how to put into practice the healing process of these children. And it's not just housing them and feeding them correctly. It's healing them from the inside out. All the trauma, all the hurt, all the fear. These children can never trust anyone in their life again, or at least for a long time. I heard of a testimony of a young man who is now 30 years old. But for 25 years, this man could not speak about having been sexually abused when he was 5 years old. And he said he kept it all bottled up inside for 25 years. You see, it's not so easy to get healed. And this man could finally find someone that he could talk to. And it still took years for him to heal. And still, when he talks about it at 30 years old, that man is still impacted by that horrific experience that he had. And something interesting that he shared is that the sexual abuse only happened to him once, and it traumatized him so that he has lived with it for over 25 years. Now you can imagine, or try to imagine, what happens to a child who gets sexually abused 10, 20, 30 times a day for years. No, you and I cannot conceive the hurt, the damage done to these children. So not just anyone can receive these children and do right by them. They need very special care and healing. And I will venture to say that the most important healing that these children need is the spiritual healing. The spiritual healing will bring about the mental and emotional healing, and all of that can bring about physical healing. They have to start from the inside out. Government agencies have their hands tied. They cannot freely talk to these children about God. They use psychologists, and that's horrific because the psychologists only treat the mind and the emotions. So they make these children relive all these horrible experiences, and then there's nothing to heal them. They have no solution. They just relive the nightmares over and over again. So you see, it's not such an easy process to heal these children. Catching the predators and the perpetrators is not so easy and requires patience. It requires tracking, and it requires sting operations meticulously prepared. Sometimes the agents even have to pose as pedophiles to infiltrate the sex rings. Can you imagine how horrible that must be? Although interviews of sex trafficked victims frequently identify the traffickers and their accomplices, some children victims may not want to identify their traffickers because of fear. They have been threatened, intimidated all their life or for many years, or perhaps applied many means of manipulation that the pimp has exercised on them that they don't dare want to speak against their traffickers. And furthermore, the victim may only know their trafficker's first name or street name, and they cannot fully identify their traffickers. So needless to say, these children become hardened by the dangerous environment in which they must learn to survive in, and it hardens their behavior. They also frequently suffer from short-term and long-term psychological effects, such as depression, self-hatred, and feelings of hopelessness, because that's how they have had to live. These children victims also need specialized services that are not only available, given they often have illnesses, drug addictions. In a testimony of an agent that infiltrated a sex ring by pretending to be a pedophile, the child that he picked asked if he could give him some cocaine, which helped numb the pain to help him cope. Can you imagine? A child asking for cocaine to numb himself. The excruciating physical and sexual trauma, lack of viable family and community ties, and total dependence, physical and psychological, on the abuser totally annihilates the personhood of these children. And we cannot even begin to imagine the anguish these children experience. In many cases, these children have been transported from other countries. They don't speak the language. So even for the authorities, when the children get rescued, it's hard to deal with them because they don't even speak the language. They don't know their name. They don't know their age. Their documents have been taken from them, or they have been given falsified documents that is not really the child. Dear friends, there are so many details that we could go into. Needless to say, this world of mistreating children is very dark and downright evil, and it must be stopped or greatly minimized. That means we should not remain passive or indifferent. Get involved. I recommended this Operation Underground Railroad to you by Tim Ballard. His website is OURRescue.org. OURRescue.org. If you go on that website, they will tell you how you can get involved. You can donate, get involved, and even be trained to enter into the fight. Do not remain passive. Do something. Make a difference in rescuing the lives of these children. You can do something. I can do something. And we ought not to be indifferent to this human suffering any longer. Thank you for joining us. And I hope that if this series helped you, you can pass it on and share it with others. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions or comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 877-732-2887. That's 877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.